doesn't he? Sometimes it's in the loud and the shouting. Sometimes it's in the quiet. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing how God takes our sorrows and takes our struggles and all the things that we are struggling with in our lives. And I'm going to get this started here. There we go. And we're a little bit distorted on there, but that's okay. We come to this passage of Scripture. I love this passage of Scripture. Because, you know, what you do when life annoys you. Anybody have annoyances in their life? Other than me, Tanya? Anybody have times where you feel like you've been beat up? You come home from work, you come home from school, you feel like you've just been beat up. Sometimes it even seems like we're held inside of a prison cell. And that's exactly where the Apostle Paul found himself. But it is in the midst of that prison cell that God gives us the freedom to enter into the spiritual realm from the earthly realm in glorious worship, and where God does some amazing things. Would you join me in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 30? And as we come into this passage of Scripture, I'm missing a slide here. I don't know what happened, but missing a slide. Hold on, let me exit out of this really quick. And due to this view, there we go. Well, anyways, my map somehow didn't get up there. That's okay. But when Paul was traveling, remember, as we talked about in the last few weeks, that he tried to go north, he tried to go south, the Holy Spirit stopped him, and so he went west. And normally, when you're traveling to the location that he went to, that little island of Samothrace, as it says in the beginning of our passage there in verse 11, it says he set sail. We made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and then to Philippi, the leading city. Now, it only took them 2 days to get there. Normally takes five. God was in it. When God is leading our life, He puts us where He wants us to go. However, that doesn't mean that there's going to be some trials and tribulations. So I want to pick up reading there, verse 12. And from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, we remained in the city some days. Now, in order to understand what was going on with this city, we have to understand what took place in this city. There was Roman civil war that took place, and the decisive battle, second civil war of the Roman in 42 BC, was won in this colony. And so it was awarded the status of a Roman colony that would be directly linked with the emperor. So they didn't have to have someone over the district. They went right to the emperor. And because of that, that was like a Roman retirement place. The patriotism of the Romans was really high. And a few years earlier, Claudius, I believe, expelled most of the Jews out of the area. So it was, we are Rome, we are Roman citizens, and when I retire from the military, this is where I go. It's a good Roman city, we answer directly to Rome. So that is the backdrop of this, because we're going to see in a moment some things that take place in light of that. Now let's begin reading. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside where we're supposed to be a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. And after that, she was baptized, her and her household as well. And she urged us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She prevailed on us. And we talked about that last week. But the significance of that, for us to understand, say, why at the river? In Jewish culture, they required 10 heads men who were heads of the family, to start a synagogue or to have a synagogue building. It required 12 men, heads of 12 Jewish families. So because they were expelled out, there wasn't that. There was just this remnant of a woman. So let's that was a Gentile convert to Judaism, and perhaps there's a few other women Jews that were meeting there by the river. So there, that was their requirement. If there was not 10 men, you can't have a synagogue, but meet down by the river to pray. So that's what they were doing. So in verse 16, as they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination that brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God. We proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that the hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said... Now, they did nothing wrong here, right? That they could really take them to court. So what did they do? They played on the racism of, this is just Roman only, let's get rid of the Jews, we don't like these Jews. And this is what they said: "These men are Jews, and they're disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them. So basically they worked themselves up into a frenzy. But if they were good Romans, they would have checked, as we're going to see later, to see if they were Roman citizens, because every Roman citizen, just like in our country, was guaranteed a fair trial. But they got so worked up with racism that they beat them with rods, and when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Now, there's some strong significance there, because if he would have neglected, he said, "We're putting you in charge. Keep these guys from getting out." If they would have gotten out, this guy would have lost his life or been tortured or lose his place. So his life was at stake. So that's why he was going to kill himself. He said, "I'm going to die anyway." But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in this house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out to prison and visited the first church of Philippi in Lydia's house. When they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, life will annoy, beat you up, and put you in prison. And when we get caught and backed in the corner, we do a lot of different things to get out of our own prison cell. But God has provided a solution and a way for us to get out. He's given us a solution when we're annoyed, or when the world beats us up, when we get slandered. And this was the worst form of slander. These Jews, they didn't have any reason to put them in jail. Furthermore, they disobeyed their own laws. And we're going to talk about why Paul said, we're not going to let this one go, because it was to protect the Philippi community church for the future. That's why he did it. You would think that when you get let out, you say, I'm out of here. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to get out of this city as fast as I can. Those rods hurt. I was beaten with those rods. I'm out of here. But what do you do when you get caught in a prison cell? Many of us try to do things in our own ways, and it doesn't always work out right, does it? When we get caught in a prison cell, that would be probably me digging and then, I'm finally free. No, I guess I'm not. When we come to this passage of Scripture, number one, when annoyed, remember to go where the real battle is taking place. Now, this demon-possessed woman had come to Paul and Silas while they were preaching. So they're going about their business, preaching every day. And if you read carefully in the Greek, it literally means, when it says she has divination, she had the spirit of Python, which was related to a Roman cult that was in that city. Now, I want to give you that. The stories behind link to Apollo, which was a god that the Romans worshipped. And they believed that the Apollo had this Python, and it was actually outside the temple. They had a statue of it, and that it would speak through people. And you know, I want you to know clearly that when people worship idols, when they worship false gods, no matter what god they are, they are definitely calling upon the name of demons. And it was through this demonic power, because of the Roman cult worship, that this woman had become demonized or demon-possessed. She had the spirit of Python, so to speak, which was related to this temple worship. And she was following Paul around every day. Can you imagine? I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me. He's standing up to preach, and all of a sudden she says, these men are men of the Most High God that come to speak the way of salvation. You might think, well, that's a good thing. But when we study carefully, why did she use the name El Elyon, which we've studied in our Wednesday study, Most High God? Because that is meaning that God is the possessor or the controller of the universe. In other words, He's the possessor of the cosmos. He is of the Most High. And these people were using this slave girl who had the demon in her to control just a small part of the universe. Why? They could get money from her. And so that's why that's the name that she used. Because they were in direct contest, war with this demonic spirit, trying to take control over the universe. And here is Paul preaching the God who definitely has control over the universe. And so it was a great battle. That's why she was speaking that name. Now, I want you to know, when you are annoyed, we need to realize that the battle is not taking place where we're annoyed. Did you get that? When we are confronted with evil, it usually comes through a person, as in this case, through the slave girl, but it was coming from somewhere else. We need to realize that the real battle is fought in the spiritual realm. When annoyed, remember to go to the place of prayer. Because what did Paul do? He could have said, take this woman out of here. No, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command this spirit to come out. And they were at the place of prayer, right? It is in the prayer closet. It is on our knees that we fight the battle with the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, it's in that realm where the real battle takes place. It is in the angelic realm where there are angels that work for Jesus, and then there's angels that call demons that work for Satan. And when people form cults and they worship idols, and you know what? It's very dangerous, you know, even with the things that we become preoccupied. It says, the Bible talks about how, don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. Those demonic creatures get a stronghold in your life when we worship anything other than God. And so the true God, the Yahweh God that we sang about this morning. Although you might see the battle, this woman keeps bothering our preaching. She keeps interrupting our evangelistic crusades here in Philippi. She keeps busting into our open-air meetings down by the river. He went to prayer. And Jesus Christ has the authority and He has the power. But we always think that the battle is here. We always think the battle is with a crabby boss or a mean teacher at school or a bully or somebody that's mean in our family. The battle does not take place here. It takes place in the spiritual realm, and it can only be handled when we're on our knees. But I want you to know something further, because Jesus, when He gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I am El Elyon. I control the universe." And furthermore, when we look in Scripture, He invites us to boldly come to the throne room of grace to access that authority. In fact, Ephesians says that we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul could suddenly turn and use that spiritual authority. You know what? When there's angry people that are coming at you, when there's annoying people that are coming at you, know this, that in the spiritual realm there is something dark going on. He's either trying to, the devil's trying to destroy the life of your boss or your teacher or whatever family member that is acting up, and also trying to pull you down with them. But when we let go and when we say, because of Jesus Christ, because I am in Christ, I am seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I am with Him, and you have spiritual authority to say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out. Now, there might be different contexts for that. I wouldn't recommend you going up to your boss and saying, you have a demon in you. I'm going to cast that demon right out of you. That's what our prayer closet is for. Because the authority rests here, not here. And we are transported there spiritually. And that's exactly what to do when we're annoyed. Is that He invites us to have access to that spiritual power in our life. The second thing I want to bring up is that although the battle is constant and seems to take place in the physical realm, the victory is ultimately won in the spiritual realm. Now, here's what the devil does. He is determined to get you out of the spiritual realm and to focus on the physical realm. How does he do that? By inflicting physical pain. There's nothing better than a good rod in the back to bring you back down to earth into the physical realm, away from the spiritual realm. And so, because Paul cast this demon out, these people lost their money, they got angry, and what did they do? You see, although the battle is constant, seems to take place in the physical, the victory is won in the spiritual realm. Tertullian says, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And what I want us to realize here is that although the battle is fought in the spiritual realm, the devil assails us in the physical realm, in this case, being beat with rods and put in a prison. Know this, that God is doing something. He is preparing the hearts of somebody. There's something happening in the spiritual realm. Whereas if you had not gone through that trial or that beating or that annoyance, And that fact that you get up and keep going, people are watching and they say, I want that Jesus too. That's the only way that people can see the heavenly realms, is if we're living in the heavenly realms. If we are in that place of complete trust of Jesus. And although we might get slandered and beat up, in fact, persecution is great all over. I bet you didn't know that the Salvation Army even was a band of missionaries were persecuted. Gangs frequently hurled mud and stones through the windows at the preaching in the crowd. The liquor dealers worked hard to have Booth, who was the leader of the Salvation Army, kicked out of East London. Why? He was losing his profits because people were getting saved and turning from liquor to Jesus. The police were of no help. In fact, they often broke up outdoor meetings and accused Booth's followers of being the cause of all the trouble. Sound very familiar to Acts here? Beatings were not uncommon. In 1889, at least 669 Salvation Army members were assaulted. Some were killed and maimed. Even children were not immune to this. Ruffians threw lime in the eyes of children of the Salvation Army member. The newspapers ridiculed both, and they made fun of them. Now, Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If we are stopped by simply being put our attention back on the physical realm, then the devil has won. But the truth is that in the spiritual realm, Jesus Christ is one. And the church grows when we ignore, when we say, yeah, you're beating me with a rod. This hurts, that is painful, the pain is real. But I'm going to keep on praising the Lord. I'm going to keep it because God has a greater purpose for me in this. Paul says later in Romans, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see, to look upon His face. What a day, glorious day. That is not worth comparing to the beatings and the slander and the making fun of, that kids will make fun of you and bully you at school when you stand for Jesus. Know this, Paul took a stand. He was in prison, but you know, it gets a lot better because God was working in the spiritual realm. And remember that any suffering we undergo is not worth the comparing. Now, here's an example of probably what they think was the prison in Philippi, but it says that they took him into the lower prison or inner prison, which could have been a deep cistern or a well. But when life seems to hold you prison, remember that you are free in the realm that matters. See, how many years do you think we're all going to live on this earth? We don't know, but most people don't live past 100, 70, 80, if that. With medical technology, some people are. My grandparents are in their late 80s, 87, 89, and I hope I have them. I keep telling them, I want you for 10 more years, and they're like, no, please. I was like, that's selfish of me. But, you know, think about this. When life seems to hold you in prison, remember you're free in the eternal realm because Jesus Christ has set you free. But look what happened. This is a beautiful thing. They were put in jail, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Now, the word were means that they were already doing it from the moment they got thrown in prison. And it was painful in the position that they would have been put in. Now, I don't know if it was like this or not. Probably not. Paul and Silas leading hymns in prison. Third verse, pickpockets only. There's other prisoners in this jail. Fourth verse, Jews only, right? Because they didn't like the Jews. But imagine this. After being beaten with rods, with the stickiness of the blood and the guts against the hay and the rocks and the cold dampness, and furthermore being put in these chains in these stocks, metal cold stocks, They could have started crying. They could have said, why didn't we stay back in the Antioch church? Why didn't we go to that tropical island with Barnabas? And why didn't we just push on, even though the Spirit said to not go north? Why didn't we go there? Why did we end up here? It was in that moment that they began to praise the Lord. Folks, I don't think there's any greater realm. And I remember in another church that I pastored, one of the men was like, well, I just don't get much out of the singing time and the worship time at church. You know, I'm too manly to sing. Let me tell you, if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, there is a new song that comes out of you. Every believer has access to the praise and the worship of God. They were singing hymns, and these were hymns that were triumphant and told the storyline of the gospel of what Jesus has done. And sometimes we sing hymns. They're about Jesus and what He has done. A lot of our modern songs are about us and what we do. But these hymns, if you notice, they're all about what God does. We have hymns, there is a fountain filled with blood. We have the hymn, Victory in Jesus, that talk about the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. They were singing these songs and living in the realm of freedom. So, church, don't think that just because you're in prison, that is the reality, because the reality is the worship and praise of entering into that spiritual realm. Because there is not a single ruler or prison on the earth that can lock your spirit from going into the Holy of Holies. Let us come boldly to the throne. And you know what? We don't like to pray today. We kind of push off prayer. We kind of push off where I can't wait till this is over with. But you know, it's a privilege that we can transport from the earthly realm into the heavenly realms before the throne room of Yahweh and give Him all of our worship. That Paul was in that place. Silas was in that place. He chose to worship God. Worship of God is our very transportation to the throne room of grace. In fact, this is the way that God always worked. Do you remember when they were going in the land to conquer Jericho? And then Jericho is in a heap of ruins now because the high priest got their horns, they got the Ark of God, which symbolizes the presence of God, and they walked around Jericho, and those walls fell down. They didn't walk around with atomic weapons or bombs. They walked around worshiping God. Folks, don't underestimate the power of worship. Don't underestimate of being lost in God when you put in those worship CDs and just begin to worship God. You know, this is my problem as much as yours, because I struggle with down days and days of discouragement. But you know what keeps me there? It's because I refuse to praise the Lord. I know the answer to the problem. I do. But it's the getting there. It's the getting into that place of praise and worship. You see, the battle has been won. When Jesus said it is finished, we're no longer in this prison anymore. We can't be held there. Paul couldn't be held there, because it was in the midst of the eruption of the hymn that the earthquake appeared and happened and shook everything and all the chains fell off. I think that is a spiritual picture in the earthly realm. It doesn't mean every time that we pray and worship that there's going to be an earthquake that happens. It's like, oh, I want this school to fall down. This teacher made me so angry today. I'm going to start praising the Lord and hope that He's going to send an earthquake and the walls will start caving in and they cancel school, right? Or in your workplace. But I think God gave this as a picture to us. He can do that. He's that kind of God. But know this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we boldly come to the throne room of grace, you see, prayer and worship is the tool that God has given us to win our battles. There's no other way in the church. There's no other program. There's no other way to grow this church other than when we get lively and on fire in prayer, seeking the face of God and worshiping Him with all of our hearts. Only then will God send His revival. There is no other way. This is the tool. This is the dynamic power and the glory of God. Are you hungering as we sang that song? Do you really hunger for the presence of God to invade this church and to invade your families and your life? Do we really hunger for that? We so desperately need to come boldly to the throne room of grace. See, life only seems to put us in a prison. But the truth is, the battle's won. Jesus is overcome. Perhaps I wouldn't get so stuck in my ruts. Perhaps you wouldn't if we choose to praise the Lord. Huh? See, when God sets you free, don't run. And it gets much deeper. When we go into prayer and worship, God does some mighty things. And here's what the first thing we is. The first chance that I get out of here, I'm going. I don't care what's happening with other people's lives. Paul didn't do that. Think of the Philippian jailer. He was about to commit suicide. Paul says, wait a minute. We could be free and run out of here and escape this pain, but God sent the earthquake for a reason. God is setting me free so that the gospel can spread to more people. See, God does not just set us free. And you know, the guy did not want to commit suicide just because their singing was bad. This was a real thing. This was a real reality. He was going to lose his life if all these prisoners got free. Don't flee to your comforts and safety when God delivers you. And this is the mistake that we make as a church, as Americans, I should say. We start to pray. We start to feel the excitement of God moving and delivering and people getting saved and set free. And then what do? We immediately run to our comforts, whether it's food or people or things, and we end up looking like that guy spiritually, right? Paul didn't do that. He kept an eye on, what is God doing here? Wow. This jailer, this Roman jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Folks, if we keep on keeping on in prayer and worship, if we keep on keeping on in this place, God uses our physical circumstances to awaken others to Jesus Christ. Even if we're going through a bad time, even if we don't like what we're facing in our life, because it points to Jesus and it brings the most unlikely people to Jesus Christ. Watch how God works. Watch. Don't run to your recliner. Don't run to your pew. Don't run to your place of silence.
Because I don't want anybody to hear me pray out loud. I don't want to hear anybody sing because I'm a bad singer.
Know this. God has a special translator. I really believe that. God's not annoyed with your singing or your messed up praying and my messed up praying. He has a translator, and that translator stretched out his arm on the cross and said, it is finished, paid in full. So whatever is weak and powerless and twisted and sinful goes through Jesus. Let us boldly come into the throne room of grace. Watch for how God is working. And that's exactly what happened in this guy's life. So when you're in a bind, how you can be free in the physical realm, but rather be watching for how God is working to use your circumstances to transform other people's lives. Watch. He wasn't saying that because you get saved, your household's automatically going to get saved. He was saying this as a matter of authority, of this jailer being the head of his household. And then he went in and shared, as it says in the next verse, with the rest of his house. So they all put their faith in Jesus. So people that use that verse for automatic salvation. So I got saved, so that means my kids are automatically covered. That's not what the scripture was saying. People that get baptized think their kids are saved. No, everybody came to Christ when he preached the word at their house. He said, your house is opened up now. And so he went and preached the word to his whole household and they got saved. That's an amazing, amazing, powerful thing that occurred there. Now, think about this. Number five, always remember when there's plenty of joy when we cooperate with God's sovereignty and leave the results up to Him. I want to read that again. Did you get that? Always remember that there's plenty of joy when we cooperate with God's sovereignty and leave the results up to Him. Paul could have fled, but as a result, there was the blessing of seeing this whole household saved. And he invited them into his home. He bound up and fixed all of his wounds. And then they had a baptism service in the river, probably at the place of prayer. And the Philippian community church started to grow. And you know the depth of that? The Jews would say this prayer. It was common for them to pray in the morning, the more Pharisaical ones. And they would say, thanks to God that thank you, God, that you did not make me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. Who started the first Philippian community church? A woman, Lydia, a slave girl, and a Gentile jailer. How beautiful and how powerful is that? There is plenty of joy. Charles Spurgeon says, obedience to the will of God is the pathway to perpetual honor and everlasting joy. Because Paul obeyed God. He didn't flee. He didn't turn around at the sight of persecution. He went through and praised the Lord and trusted in His sovereignty. There was plenty of joy that came out of this. In fact, when he went back to the house, it just said, what was that? In verse 35, verse 34, he brought them and he rejoiced with his entire household. Now here was a man that was about to have a mental breakdown, about to commit suicide, now rejoicing in his right mind, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's joy. And the church was on its way to grow with a woman, a Gentile jailer, a former demonized slave girl. See, when we trust for God, He will provide for all of our needs. Even the sustenance of the food that Paul received after being in that cold, dark prison. Know this, God always takes care of His own. So when the devil starts beating you up in the physical realm, stay in the spiritual realm because the spiritual blessing and provision of the Lord is coming. Why? He's Jehovah Jireh. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches. It's the promise of the Word. Jesus talks about the sparrow and the number of hairs and that. If God even takes care of the sparrows, how much more is He going to take care of you? So trust when you go through difficult times to keep leaning on the Lord because there is plenty of joy when people come to Jesus Christ. So, when life annoys you, life beats you up, life puts you in prison, and it will. Break out into the freedom of worship and watch God change your life and the lives around you. Is there one last song? I want to invite the worship team to come as we prepare our hearts for worshiping the Lord. Folks, we ought to shout from the rooftop. We ought to give God all the glory and honor and praise, even in the midst of the darkness of our lives. Why? Because we can. Because He said it's finished, paid for in full. Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You so much for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Pray that You'd take away anything that I said that was not from Your Word and from Your Holy Scripture. And God, I pray that You'd burn these truths in our hearts. Forgive us, God, for our greed, our selfishness, and Even our asphyxiation with the physical realm, when this just isn't going to last, it's going to fade away. Oh God, would you come in your mercy and move my stubborn thoughts and attitudes and thinking towards the eternal. Lord, I would trust that only through an act of grace, you would come and help me. You'd come and help us. You'd come and move us to that place. Oh, Lord, we sure can't do it on our own. Oh, Lord, we glorify your name. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen.